guys, next to the stage, we've got just a slew of people who've been away for a while and have come back, and that makes me really happy. So this woman is professionally an A&R rep in music, so if you guys have, like, music licensing needs, she is the person to talk to. I don't know if you would, but hey, maybe you do. It's a really fascinating world. Also, a really great friend of mine, super excited to have her on the show tonight. Please welcome Anna Marsh. Yes. I've been trying to get her to come for a while, right?
Yeah, this is usually stuff that I only tell people when I'm drunk, and I made the mistake of telling somebody who has a podcast this time.
There is a bar downstairs. You can get drunk again.
Yeah. So I sat down in bed one evening back when I was about 16 or so, excited to jump into the new Chuck Klosterman book I had just picked up. It started off pretty typical. He's immediately ranting about the Sex Pistols and how everyone from Spin Magazine makes fun of his khaki shorts and his obsession with his CD collection. And then I get to this chapter where he decides to hit me with this crazy piece of knowledge. He wrote, "French military surgeon Jules Cotard lived only 49 years, but he will be forever remembered for discovering one of nature's most sincerely fucked up mental illnesses. Cotard syndrome is a mental disorder where the victim concludes that he or she is dead. Sometimes the symptoms are more specific. Patients believe they are missing certain internal organs, or that there is no blood in their veins, or that they have lost their soul. However, the ultimate manifestation of Cotard syndrome is the victim's unshakable conviction that he or she does not exist. It's not that these people fear they're dying, it's they're certain they're already dead." As soon as I read that, I dropped my book and immediately thought to myself, holy shit, someone with Cotard syndrome should fall in love with a necrophiliac. This premise has since become an almost decade-long attempt at turning this into a story and developing these two characters and figuring out how these severely ill social outcasts could form a connection that was actually really quite beautiful and one that's as genuine as any classic love story. But I couldn't just take out a notebook and start putting my ideas down. That would have been too easy. I had it in my head that I wanted it to be a film, and I think mostly because I had this idea for some cool goth bands to do the soundtrack for. R.I.P. Neo. But yeah, that's what I set out to do. I wanted to create a film for it, so I bought some screenwriting books, I torrented Final Draft, I tried to figure out how to write a screenplay. I was also trying to do a bunch of research on the characters' diseases, but one thing that I was really struggling with was how to get inside the mind of a necrophiliac, which is when I decided that maybe there's some porn out there I should try to watch on the topic. It turns out that's illegal. And the next thing I know, I'm researching how to hack your browser to access foreign porn sites. I totally understand why that's banned now. I also tried to get more involved with people in the film scene, so I started going out to film festivals, I set up some meetings with professors for guidance, and then got connected with a few producers to pitch my treatment to. The reception was pretty hit or miss. People would be like, "So it's a horror movie? Is it like a snuff film?" And I'm like, "No, it's a love story." But I did have a few people who were super on board with my ideas, and it gave me the motivation to keep working on it. So after months of writing and having my main points down, I sent the script over to the producers who were helping me out so I can get some of their notes on it. And I didn't really get notes from them back, per se. The reaction was more so just sort of a laughing in my face of how I pretty much totally disregard the entire purpose of what a screenplay is for. It turns out I basically wrote a novel with a bunch of indented lines and then changed the font to Courier. Like, I wrote one of my scene headings in poetry form because I just thought that would look cool. And even though I knew that the time of day is supposed to be in all caps and separated by two spaces and a hyphen, I guess it wasn't going to fly with them. So this is where my dreams of having a groundbreaking romantic box office hit about necrophilia came to an end. But despite some of the horror stories that my love story brought about, These characters really grew to become a very real part of my life, and they felt like people who have been with me since I was a teenager at this point. And, you know, we had faced all these challenges together, and so I haven't stopped writing about them. Granted, it's in novel form now, but I came to enjoy the journey it's led me on so much that if it takes me another 10 years and another round of failed attempts to get it published, I don't know. I think I'd be okay with keeping those crazy characters in my life for a little while longer.
Everybody. Did you guys read that novel? I would read that novel. Hell yeah, we got some woos out there. Alright, Anna said she wouldn't put this in the actual story, but I'm allowed to ask her. Anna, who was it who bought your screenplay?
Huey Lewis's son.
Huey Lewis's son. I guess it was not the new drug that he needed. Oh, not Huey Lewis fans out there, huh? Alright. That's alright, slow news day, huh?
No.
Yes, Jeremy, with the tag.